The content in this audio recording provides general information, however, it does not substitute legal advice or opinion. Information is best used in conjunction with legal advice from an experienced member of our team. Communication during separation. Five tips to manage toxic communication. Toxic communication can be a concern when going through separation and divorce. No matter what has occurred previously in a relationship, the way in which one or both people communicate during their separation and divorce process can lead to complications when it comes to finalizing family law matters. It is not always possible to have no communication during separation, especially when children are involved. In our work, we have found it is quite common for some people to find communication worrisome post-separation, especially when one person feels that the other's words are meant to be hurtful or are made maliciously. Toxic communication can be a one-way or two-way. It can also start one way and draw the other person in. Importantly, there are ways to avoid this and manage the frustration and/or trauma that comes with toxic communication. To help you manage communication after separation, we are going to look at what you can do to help to protect yourself, and if you have children, help and protect them as well. Hopefully, this will lead to better outcomes when resolving the family law issues arising from your separation. The first recommendation is to tap into your support network. Whenever I initially meet with a client, one of the first questions I ask them is, who do you have in your network of support? I encourage clients to think of someone who can be honest and truthful with them, someone who they will be able to rely on and call for an objective opinion. For many of our clients, a lot of the time that will be us as their family lawyers to give advice and guidance. But I have also seen many instances where a client has tapped into an objective friend or relative who can help give them perspective about how to respond to the communications they are receiving. This must, however, be given careful thought, as some people in your network of support may not be as helpful as you think and may in fact only add to the conflict. Having a voice of reason to reach out to is ideal when an inflammatory email or text message comes in. When you seek counsel on the communication that has been received, instead of reacting emotionally, your chosen voice of reason can assist you by providing perspective and may even suggest you take a step back or hold off responding to any challenging communications for a day or two, or until you're able to get legal advice. With some issues, we of course appreciate that the reassurance only a family lawyer can give is needed. However, I see that it is invaluable to have that other person in mind to reach out and to check in with them when we may not be available. Consider the best methods for communication after separation. If you and your former spouse or partner are not communicating well, or if there is a tendency for conversations to escalate, we recommend where possible avoiding telephone and face-to-face contact. When you are having challenges with communication, face-to-face discussions and telephone calls can easily spiral to a place that is not good for anyone. Such forms of communication are unpredictable and usually off the record. The result is that the damage is almost always done. If you find yourself in situations where things have become heated or challenging, it can be difficult to recover from what has been said, and this can harm your case. If this occurs, there are often additional costs as lawyers need to be involved to help recover from these issues. If you do not have any parenting issues, you do not necessarily need to speak on the phone or meet at all in order to negotiate the terms of your property settlement. Sometimes, even if you are communicating amicably, communication can suddenly become toxic. In this case, writing letters, emails, or sending text messages will be a better option. It is also advisable to have had the benefit of some legal advice before you start negotiating or making commitments in your direct discussions. This is because any initial expectations which may be set as a result of the negotiations can be difficult to shift later on. For parenting matters, it is obviously more complicated because you will need to communicate more urgently or frequently about matters relating to your children. Whilst direct contact is best and shows a commitment to positive co-parenting, it is not always possible to maintain. If you are facing toxic communication as you co-parent your children, it is best to communicate with your former partner or spouse by email and/or text message where appropriate, even if only for a short period of time, in order to minimize the potential risks to yourself and your children. You might be interested to know that there are also apps, such as Our Family Wizard, that can also assist in helping co-parents communicate more effectively. The use of such apps is recommended frequently by professionals working in the co-parenting space. While you are communicating in a predominantly written format, it is important to always consider what you write between yourselves and on social media. Anything in emails, text messages, social media communications, or in posts are often used against the other party in court proceedings. So it is almost always better to just switch off your phone or email rather than writing something that may later be used against you, or even to paint you in a negative light. The court is one of impression, and if your matter ends up in court, whatever is written may not necessarily be a matter of fact, but simply of impression. This can have a significant impact on the outcome of your family law matters. Another recommendation is to focus on what you can control. Another valuable step is to recognize, and I acknowledge that this is hard to do, you cannot control every part of the situation unfolding before you. Instead, focus on what you can control. You may find yourself thinking, why did they say that? Or what is the reasoning for doing that? In most cases, it probably doesn't matter. It might end up being a rabbit hole that you find yourself in, chasing information that may not ultimately make any difference to your situation, other than to cause you significant stress and anxiety. You cannot control what your ex does or says. Instead, do everything you can to put that time and energy into any immediate needs or issues that must be addressed in relation to your parenting matters, financial needs, and goals. Goal orientation, in my view, helps focus your behavior and communication to improve the outcome. Avoid playing the blame game. If your relationship breakdown was due to an affair or financial issues, for instance, those facts are important and you can and should acknowledge what has happened. Experiences like these are going to have an emotional impact on you. This background information about what has led to your separation is helpful to your family lawyer to know when making recommendations about how you may approach a situation and the possible triggers and/or timing of the communication. As hard as it may be, however, it is essential not to let those factors of the relationship breakdown influence the communication you have post-separation. Wherever you can, avoid playing the blame game in your communication. It only incites conflict. The best way forward is to think about what needs to be addressed. Identify what the urgent issues are, and for your own benefit, focus any communication you have on practical issues rather than emotional issues. It helps to ease the development of toxic communication. If you are on the receiving end of toxic communications, reduce communications as much as possible, limit them to urgent messages, and remember to use your support network. Whatever the reason for your relationship breakdown, these types of issues are best addressed by working with a psychologist or counselor. Bringing up blame is very unlikely to help anyone move out of the situation that you are currently experiencing. Seek professional support for yourself. If you are on the receiving end of toxic communication or find yourself engaging in unhelpful or toxic dialogue, consider seeing a psychologist. There is nothing wrong with seeking help with any issue you are facing, including managing communication with your ex. Sometimes clients will ask what they should say in response to a message or email, or start talking to me about how they are feeling with regard to issues around separation and communication. While that is very common, and I respect the enormity of the feelings that they are struggling with, I do have to tell them that as much as I would like to help them with that issue, I am not the best placed person to talk through the emotional side of their separation and how it impacts on their well-being. In my view, the best way we as family lawyers can serve our clients is to guide them through the legal issues, provide advice on how to approach and respond to negotiations, and give perspective about how the court will respond to specific elements of their matter, as this is our field of expertise. The second way we can best serve our clients is to provide them with a tailored referral to a psychologist, counsellor, or other professionals who can best support the specific issues they are facing in that professional's field of expertise. Some clients will say to me, "I don't need to see a psychologist. I have done nothing wrong." Or, "I don't have any emotions that need to be processed." In those situations, I would recommend they attend an initial consultation just to get a sense of whether they will benefit from that assistance or not. In my view, the key driver in toxic communications is the emotional element of the separation. So, if not for themselves, they can benefit from the insights that the psychologist or counsellor can offer as to why their former spouse or partner is communicating in the way they are. There is no shame or stigma attached to seeking professional support. It does not place the blame with you, but rather shows you are taking steps to take care of yourself, educate yourself, and improve your situation. A psychologist or counsellor can prove very helpful during what can be a highly challenging time in your life. They can provide a sense of perspective that only people with that expertise can bring. By taking this step, you will be truly approaching this toxic communication issue from multiple angles. Manage toxic communication where children are involved. In general, parents should not be speaking in front of children about any adult issues. So if you have concerns about children experiencing or witnessing toxic communications, requests can be made through your lawyers for this behaviour to cease. If the toxic communication appears in circumstances of co-parenting, it is not uncommon for us to recommend a parenting program to clients that is tailored towards positive co-parenting and improving communication. Even if you are not a participant in toxic communications, we often suggest that both parents participate in parenting programs. Parenting programs assist in many ways, including when you cannot understand why your former spouse or partner is behaving in a particular way. These programs can help improve communication and ultimately the way you both co-parent, and it will be your children who benefit most. If there is something that would be of benefit to your situation but the other parent does not want to participate, you can still attend alone, and this would be highly recommended where there is toxic communication. Just as with yourself, if your children are experiencing or witnessing toxic communication, referrals to child psychologists and social workers can prove highly beneficial as you work through this process. They will provide practical steps to help protect the mental health of you and your children. You should, however, where possible and or practicable, consult with the other parent about your child or children attending a child psychologist or social worker. If you are fearful for your immediate safety or the safety of your children as a result of toxic communication, for example, in a situation where threats are made, you should ring 000 immediately. Too often, people believe that because the threats are from their former spouse or partner and that they are going through a family law process, that the police do not need to be involved. You always have the options to phone 000. In my experience, if the circumstances warrant a situation where the police do need to be called out, which does happen more often than most people imagine, the police involvement may assist to diffuse a situation or communications which would otherwise get out of hand without such intervention. And finally, there are times when communication during separation becomes too hard or when toxic communication persists. It may not be possible to repair communications, and in these instances, you should remove yourself from the conflict as much as possible. If communication is not improving and is preventing a resolution for issues that are important to you to move on, it is time to seek a different level of support. At a minimum, you need a level of support that can help get you through the negotiation processes involved in any property or parenting matters you have in progress. Creating a barrier between you by having your family lawyer manage communications on your behalf can be very helpful in managing your own mental health and general well-being. In fact, this can be helpful for both parties. It gives you the time and space that you need and removes the stress that often comes with the anticipation of receiving phone calls or emails that could appear at any time of day or night. If you find that your efforts to effectively communicate with your ex are not working, stop trying to fix it. Remove yourself from the conflict entirely, get on the front foot, and seek the support of a specialist family lawyer as soon as possible. In our work, we find that when a person decides to engage the support of a family lawyer as the barrier, they are able to think more clearly and more broadly about a resolution and their future. You can direct your former spouse or partner to forward all communications to your lawyer. Then your family lawyer can control the flow of information and communication to you. They will notify you of any urgent issues and generally keep in contact with you to keep your matters moving forward, while allowing you to breathe more easily and make any decisions with a clearer mind.